You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome back, Ram fans. This is Rams Up, your favorite LA Rams podcast. We are proud members of the Fans First Sports Network. That's fansfirstsports.com. You can also follow us on YouTube. Our channel is at LA Rams Up. I'm your host, Mark. You'll hear from my co-host, Tom, on occasion as well. Hey, we're not Rams insiders. We're just longtime fans who love talking about our Los Angeles Rams. Let's get to it. Welcome back, everybody. Episode 383 of Rams Up. We are going to continue Paul Walia's discussion about his Puka Power prospects. These are the guys he sees going on day three of the upcoming NFL draft, rounds four or later. Yesterday, we talked about the prospects on the defensive side of the ball. And today, we'll wrap it up with the prospects on the offensive side of the ball and a summary of everything we talked about. And you can also watch this discussion augmented by videos on the YouTube channel as well. Let's pick it up where we left off. Okay, our next guy up, what do you know, another SEC guy, a running back out of Kentucky. Is he out of Kentucky, Ray Davis?
Ray Davis. And Mark, this is why we do the segment for players like Ray Davis. Wait till you hear this kid's story. So Ray Davis is one of my favorite players, if not my favorite player in this draft, next to Vaki. Okay, he's from San Francisco, California. He has 14 siblings. This is a kid spent time in foster care, was also homeless for a period of time. But what was great about him, and he openly tells his story, there was a point in his life where he daily had to find a place to sleep on a regular basis. Like, basically, his priority was, where am I going to sleep tonight? Where's my next meal coming from? But he always found a way to get to school. He always found a way to play sports because that was his way of having human contact. That was his way of keeping his mind off of everything that was going on. But just think about that, not knowing where your next meal is coming from at that age. He was fortunate. He was playing in a basketball league on a chance ride home quote, and I use that in air quotes, right, ride home. One of his friend's parents actually started talking to him and found out about his situation and supported him and helped him out. They eventually got him a scholarship to a school right here, Mark, in New York, in Dutchess County. It's called Trinity Pauling School. And then he wound up his last year to get eligible for college. He spent a year at what was called Blair Academy. I think it's in New Jersey. All right. To get eligible for college. At Blair, he ran for 1,700 yards and 35 touchdowns in 8 games. Let me say that again. 1,700 yards and 35 touchdowns at Blair. Okay. He finished his entire high school career with 48 touchdowns. And he also played defense, linebacker on defense. Right. He transferred to Kentucky after 2 seasons at Vandy, and he also played 2 seasons at Temple. He got the scholarship offer to go to Temple. He played in 44 career college games, 37 career starts. He finished his collegiate career, ready for this, Mark? 3,626 rushing yards, 29 rushing touchdowns. And add on to that 94 receptions for another 762 receiving yards. 12 receiving, an additional 12 receiving touchdowns. All in all, 4,400 all-purpose yards, 41 total touchdowns. He is 4th on the NCAA's active career total rushes list with 733. So this guy, somebody might say, well, he's got a lot of wear and tear on him. That's okay. He was the first active player in Division I to chart 1,000 rushing yards at 3 different schools, Temple, Vandy, and Kentucky. First player in SEC history to gain 1,000 or more rushing yards at 2 different programs, Vandy and Kentucky. Is that impressive?
Yeah, consider the defenses he's going up against playing for Vanderbilt in Kentucky.
Thank you. Yep.
And it sounds like a guy that, you know, to say nothing about his physical toughness, he's got to be extremely mentally tough.
What you talk about character, right? There's not a grade you can give this kid for character. He's off the charts. But not only that, he is committed to being a well-rounded player. He has had 1 reception in 25 straight games. Okay? At the Senior Bowl, the coaches basically commented he was the best running back in terms of out of the backfield catching passes. Right? And there were some very impressive players out there with great skills out of the backfield. The kid has great vision. He is an absolute wrecking ball. He is that classic one cut and go, or I like to say one cut and trample. He's a great pass catcher. We just talked about that. Kudos to him and all the wonderful people in his life that helped him to get to the point that, you know, he's about to get drafted. This is what professional sports is all about. He will never go hungry again. He will never be homeless again. You know, and I hope he winds up as a member of the Ramley, because I think this guy is a great player, but he's even a greater human being. And you were talking about our buddy helping out and, you know, with the homeless and, you know, maybe talking to kids, going to schools, offering mentorship opportunities. This is the kind of player you want in the Rams locker room. Okay. This is a player, and I know the Rams are not big on drafting running backs. Even when they do, our backup running backs don't get a lot of burn. But this is just a kid you want on your team. This is the type of kid like Sione Vaki that you want to bring him onto your team, and the culture just around your organization is just going to change instantaneously. To hear this kid tell his story, and for those of you in Ram Nation, you know, there's a lot of really good media out there about his story. And when you hear his story, you know, you're just going to have a lump in your throat what this kid went through to get to this point. So, fantastic ball player, even better human being, but watch him run the rock. I mean, he does not go down on first contact, always falling forward, always churning out extra yards, an absolute beast near the goal line.
Hey, you sold me. I'm a Ray Davis fan, and the Rams do typically draft a running back. My special assistant and I have been arguing that you should do so every year, whether it's in the 7th right. round or the 1st round, wherever it is. Draft a running back every year, and I suspect the Rams will.
Listen, we don't have enough running back spots for the players that I cited already.
I know.
Yeah.
The next guy you cite as, I believe you cited him as the best blocking tight end in the draft.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And let me qualify that. He's still very raw, right? But when he does lock on, holy cow, it is a pancake. So his name is Brevin Spanford. He's the tight end from Minnesota. Does not have eye-popping numbers in terms of production. So when you look at his career numbers, not mind-blowing to say the least, right? He stayed in state, went to Minnesota. We know Minnesota is a school that runs the rock pretty much fairly well. This kid is just raw and nasty. I love his temperament. I love his football IQ. And you know, Mark and Ram Nation, you all remember, I'm still smarting from missing out on my buddy from Georgia, Darnell Washington, from last year, right? This kid would be a great developmental tight end. He reminds me a lot of Roland Williams, right? The kid just needs to put it all together. He has the size, the speed, he has the hands, his technique is there. It's just raw. And we have seen the work that the Ram coaches have done with Davis Allen. Imagine this kid with Davis Allen. We are talking some serious size and skill. This kid is listed 6'7", 270, Mark. 6'7", 270. And then we got Duncan Davis Allen, right? We know, we have all, you know, seen the tape of him dunking a basketball, right? This kid, along with Davis Allen, young, beastly, talented. In 23, he had 25 receptions, 239 receiving yards, and 2 touchdowns. Career stats, 95 receptions, 1,061 receiving yards, 7 touchdowns. His accolades, all Big Ten, honorable mention, 22 and 23. Mark, academic, all Big Ten, his entire collegiate career. Let me say that again. Academic, all Big Ten, his entire collegiate career.
And the Big Ten, that's saying something.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of very, very good academic schools there, as opposed to your SEC. Sorry.
I think he's good. Did you just knock the SEC academic?
Well, as compared to what we used to know as the Pac-12 and the Big Ten, I think that's a fair statement, but not to take anything away from. Go ahead.
So the SEC.
Did I just start a first Paul Mark argument?
Never, never. Mark is my brother in arms always. So for my SEC Ramley out there, we know that the SEC works just as hard in the classroom as they do on the football field. All right. So one thing I will say is, Mark, think about this. Even if he does well at the combine, he's so under the radar. He would be a great developmental tight end. Now, tight end is definitely not a priority. And we all know my agenda every year is just that, you know, we can never get that second tight end on the field in 2 tight end sets. It just doesn't happen. You know, we run that 11 all the time. So the thing is, as a developmental tight end, he would be perfect. I think he's just going to blow people out of the water when he gets a chance to play, just like Davis Allen. He's getting a chance to play, unfortunately, because Higgs got hurt. But I think we just strengthen up that tight end room with this kid. And, you know, might even save money on a veteran contract, right? We can go even cheaper on a tight end because now we know that we have this kid backing up Davis Allen.
Yeah, my thought on the tight end is, number one, we don't know if Tyler Higbee is going to be ready to go. And if he isn't ready to go, and we're bringing back Davis Allen and Hunter Long, 2 really inexperienced players. Although I'm hopeful about Hunter Long, what he could bring to this tight end group. Do they maybe just feel like they need to add a veteran, any veteran, to this tight end group as opposed to a draft pick? I don't know what the answer is, but just a thought. It's all dependent on Tyler Higbee's health. If Tyler Higbee looks like he's going to be good to go opening day, you know, week 3 or 4, then yeah, add a draft pick. If not, maybe they bring in just a mid-level tight end to round out the room. But
if that is the case, if Higbee's going to come back that early, first of all, I wouldn't rush him back. That's number one, right? Because we need him for the stretch run. There's no question about that, right? I think Davis Allen is going to shock a lot of people. I think that kid is uber talented.
Yeah, I agree.
No question about it. I think he's going to just stun people. And if they use him properly, his blocking game is definitely improved. But if they use him properly in the red zone and they put it up there on jump balls, et cetera, that kid can go get it. This kid right behind him can contribute immediately in the blocking game. And I think he would be perfect.
Yeah, and I just can't get that look on Hunter Long's face when they wheeled him off the field, because I feel like he felt this was his opportunity finally after battling through injuries his first 2+ years in the league. So I'm pulling for him. I'm pulling for Tyler Higbee. Sure. And I'd like Tyler Higbee. We haven't seen the schedule yet. That comes out. I'm not sure when it comes out, but when it does come out, maybe he's going to circle that Detroit game in Detroit as his first game back.
There's some payback when we get to play Detroit again. Listen, we never want to. We're not like those lunatics with the bounty gates in air. That was just absolutely horrendous. But there's some payback when we go back to Detroit. Iron Kyron also, Matt Stafford. There were some cheap shots in that game. Puka, Cup. There were a lot of cheap shots in that game. And regardless, whatever. And Campbell knows better. And I said, based on what I saw, because it happened more than once, that was definitely coming from the coaches. There's some payback that has to be dished out. And I hope in that game, the entire Ram team circles it collectively. And that should be blowout city and just trample those guys.
I wonder how Jared Goff felt about that. Him and Higbee drafted together, remember? I'm sure they have some type of relationship. Okay, next up, who do you have next up on your list? I'm not sure I have the same order as you.
I said, this is a Puka segment. You got to have a wide receiver on here. You know, I actually had three wide receivers on here, but for purposes of time, and I'll wait till after the combine, and I'll update the wide receiver part of it. And one wide receiver that's not on the list, but we should definitely cite from Texas A&M, Ainias Smith, probably for his size, pound for pound, nastiest blocker at wide receiver. Plays at Texas A&M. Really, really good wide receiver. I think he's going to do well at the combine as well. So let's talk about Puka, right? Under the radar, tall, muscular, wide receiver, hyper-athletic. There's a receiver out there. Luke McCaffrey. Luke McCaffrey has really, really grown on me. The more I watch him, he's had it not just an interesting career trajectory. Not only can we stick it to San Francisco as a bonus, but I really like this kid. And let me just go over a couple of highlights. 6'2", 205, right? Definitely has a room on his frame to add some more weight. He's had an interesting career trajectory. And as much as I delved into it, I really couldn't get a lot of details. He played high school football for his dad in Colorado. He played wide receiver and defensive back because his brother was the starting quarterback. Interesting, right? They eventually, I think, split quarterback duties. I think it was junior year. They won the state title. And then he went to Nebraska, and he started out as a quarterback. He then transferred to Louisville and then wound up transferring to Rice, where he eventually, after a short stint in quarterback, also switched to wide receiver. And that's his dad's positions for Ram Nation. For those of you know, this is Ed McCaffrey's son, three-time Super Bowl winner with the Niners and the Broncos, and also probably arguably one of the best blocking wide receivers of all time, Ed McCaffrey.
So which explains why both McCaffreys played high school ball in Denver.
Absolutely. So what I like about McCaffrey, I'm going to just focus on that 2023 year. He played 12 games, 71 receptions, 992 yards, 13 TDs. He was the team captain. Mark, do we see a trend here? Team captain, academic honor roll, all first team. Okay? So the kid definitely gets high marks for leadership, gets high marks for hustle and effort, but he definitely has a skill set. He looked okay. You know, a lot of people knocked him at the Senior Bowl. He had a couple of drops, but listen, you know, this is a guy who's played one and a half full years at wide receiver at Rice. So, let's give the guy a break, man. But just the same way that they overlooked Puka, I think people are overlooking this kid.
He sounds like a poor man's Ladd McConkey to me.
Poor man. Look at you. Another McConkey reference. Absolutely. But he's just taller, right? Right. I love his height. I love his wingspan. He's got those long arms, that catch radius as he gets comfortable with his hands, that catch radius is just going to get longer and longer. he already shows solid instincts. I love his yak ability. He needs to work on route running. He needs to, like I said, needs to work on his hands and tracking the football. 74-inch wingspan. Not, and he's now not
you,
afraid.
Did you say 6'2", 205?
6'2", 205.
Isn't Cooper and Puka both like 6'2", 210 in that range?
In that range, yeah, in that range. Are you saying there's some similarities there, Mark?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it sounds like he can probably help out with blocking a little bit as well.
And on social media, what's great about a lot of his videos is they show him going over the middle, and in the number of times his helmet comes off, everybody's posting like, perhaps you need to buckle up your helmet or get a different size helmet, because there's about a 7 or 8 plays where his helmet comes flying off and he's standing there or sitting there on the field. He also is capable of returning kicks. There you go, right? Another way to contribute as a developmental wide receiver. I think he's a perfect fit for the Rams. Fourth receiver, developmental receiver. I think he's eventually going to develop into a star. I think he's perfect for our list. I'm interested in seeing how it's going to go at the combine for him. I think he's going to do really, really well, but I still think he's going to wind up being a day three diamond. So another play to circle Ram Nation if he winds up on the Rams roster. Listen, we called it right for Puka last year. So let's see if it happens. You know, lightning hits twice.
Yeah, and as far as the receiver group goes, with DeMarcus coming back, I'm actually developing a list, prioritized list of Ram needs, and I still think they need to draft a wide receiver. They don't need to bring in any veterans at this point. Any veterans they bring in would be icing on the cake, but to bring in a physical receiver, 4th, 5th, 6th round range, that's real promising. Now, if one of those top guys dropped to him at number 19, sure, but
That would be ideal, right? Wouldn't that be ideal?
Yeah. So who do you have next on your list?
All right. And shout out to the Rams front office for bringing back Rivers and D-Rob, right? Otherwise, probably if you're not a Ram fan, easy to overlook those guys. But shout out to the Rams front office.
Yeah. Next up is, Dotson and Witherspoon, or two very similar players, please.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, I think we're all in the same boat. And shout out to the Ram Nation for those of you that commented after our mock draft. Keep them coming. Glad to see your comments. Glad to interact with you. Mark answers the post, as you see, very, very quickly. So, yeah, we always want your feedback and your insights. Absolutely. Yeah, and I can say for everybody in the Rams Up podcast, we are all in on Dotson. And I think we saw in real time when Mark got that update about the salary cap expansion. So I think we all smiled from ear to ear and said, listen, let's spend that extra money on Dotson, right? So this player is another player very easy to overlook. We're back in the SEC, Mark. Texas A&M, Aggie Pride. He's a guard, Laydon Robinson, 6'4", 320. I love watching this kid play. I loved him. I loved him at the Senior Bowl skill drills. 2-time team captain. He played in 10 games. He helped last year. He helped A&M get back to respectability. They had a rough season. He's a pivotal leader in the locker room. Everybody said that. Texas A&M, shout out to Texas A&M. They do a great job of putting great media out there about their players. And everybody said everything about how important he was in the locker room. And that's what I read about him and jumped out at me, was how pivotal he was in the locker room and keeping that mindset positive, even when they were having a rough year in 22. So having said that, he started 33 games over 3 seasons with the Aggies. He lines up primarily at right guard. Remember the two rushers that Isaiah Spiller and Devon. I always say this kid's name wrong. How do you say his last name, Mark? The player you like? Ashane?
The Notre Dame running back.
Achane.
I'm sorry, you're talking about the Dolphins draft pick.
Yeah. So he had 2 1,000-yard rushers behind him. So kid was named to the All SEC Community Service Team. That was the kid I was mentioning before. Let me say that again for Ram Nation. Kid was named to the All SEC Community Service Team. Huge locker room presence. He hustles and fights to the whistle. He was the only offensive lineman at the Senior Bowl drills. Go back and watch it, Ram Nation. He ran to his spot at full speed between reps. He was the only O-lineman to do that. Okay? Every rep, whether he was getting to the back of the line or he was getting ready for his rep, boom, he was the only one that ran at full speed between reps. I think the Rams could use him at either guard position, depth for now. He's a possible starter, written all over him down the road. I think he would be a great addition. I love the community service. I love the leadership. And I love the durability, right? 33 games in the SEC, that's saying a lot.
Now he's 6'3", 330, the numbers I have on him. And yeah. Does that lend itself to – does he fit the power running scheme that they've been leaning on?
Absolutely. And he's mobile. Absolutely. If you watch him, he's not stuck in, you know, concrete. This kid can move. He's nimble. Great hand usage. He's only going to get better with NFL coaching. He's got all the fundamentals are there if you watch him. The toughness, you know, the hustle, the whistle-to-whistle effort. Everything you need to be a success is there. He's also going up the draft board. Last time when I calculated him, they still had him at fourth or fifth round. So, listen, you know, offensive linemen are notoriously undervalued after round three. So I think he's definitely going to be available as a day three player for the Rams, and I think he would be perfect for the Rams.
Yeah, Draft Tech has him as number 152 on their board. This is a little outdated. I've had this up for a while. So you got two guys left, the quarterback and the running back. Who are you going to talk about first?
I want to talk about – I want to stay on that vibe of just players like you want around your team, man. And this is a player just had a nasty injury, and I know Ram Nation is going to know who I'm talking about. This kid, Jordan Travis from Florida State. You know, there's been a lot made about the quarterbacks in this draft and McCarthy, et cetera, and everything else. And listen, you know, quarterback is a tough position to evaluate. Even this is the first time I ever heard Mel Kiper say that. This year was like probably the hardest quarterback class for him to evaluate. And he named JJ McCarthy as number one, really hard to evaluate. And he's right. Quarterback is a very hard position to evaluate because that transition from college to football is really, really, I mean, it's mind blowing. And the proof is that people talk about Brady. What was the evaluation about Brady coming from college to the NFL? It just tells you, right? It's really hit and miss. But I like this kid. And let me tell you why I like this kid and why he's perfect for our segment. So Jordan Travis out of Palm Beach, Florida, he was a three-star prospect. He was rated number 24 dual threat quarterback. Everybody knows Jordan Travis probably because of his running ability. He was the Palm Beach player of the year. He led his high school to 8 wins, regional final round of the state playoffs, was the conference's offensive player of the year as a junior. Was an incredible two-way player in high school. His brother, Devon Travis, played baseball at FSU and also played with the Toronto Blue Jays. So you definitely got that the DNA of athleticism in this kid right there.
I watched a little bit of tape on him and didn't know much about him, didn't watch much of Florida State this past year, and talk about extending plays. It was like Fran Tarkenton on double speed.
Interesting. Like. Fran Tarkenton. Oh, wow. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I could see that. So for those of you, that's Fran Tarkenton reference, right? For the Minnesota Viking fans out there, right? Ramley reference. Okay. This kid played a ton at FSU, right? He played multiple years at FSU. And what I liked about that was you watched FSU as their record got better and better and better. And eventually this year they were 11-0 before his injury, right? He was originally a transfer. Hold on one second. I want to go directly to, I'm just going to jump over some of the background stuff. I want to go directly. He's an older player. He's 24 years old. He was originally a transfer from Louisville. He played 35 games at FSU, 5,888 yards and 45 touchdowns. Also add to that, 1,700 yards and 24 touchdowns on 336 carries. He's one of six players in FSU history, the only active player nationally to rush for at least 7 touchdowns in 3 straight seasons, Mark. He holds the FSU career record for quarterback rushing yards and quarterback rushing touchdowns. He's the only player in program history, top 10 in FSU's career passing touchdowns and rushing touchdown list. He has accounted for 70 total touchdowns at FSU. Okay. And he had his team undefeated. They were 11-0 before that gruesome injury. Okay. So, I mean, there's a lot to be said about this kid. I mean, in terms of running the ball, absolutely. But in terms of throwing the ball, they had him down as early day three grades from jump. Obviously, his injury just made matters worse. But I think this kid's got the physical talent and, more importantly, the college experience to be a successful quarterback.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
First of all, the kid is mobile, and I think the way you said it is different. He's not running because he doesn't have confidence in his arm. He's extending plays. Mark, you nailed it right there. He's extending plays because he has confidence in his arm. He knows he can make big plays with his legs. He knows that. But he also knows he can make bigger plays with his arm. And that's the difference, I think, for a lot of quarterbacks coming out of college. There are quarterbacks that run because that's their primary skill set. And then there are kids that run because they can extend plays. And if they need to, they need to get positive yards with their legs. They can do that. So they can hurt you both ways.
Yeah, it's kind of a dilemma when you're looking at – and this, I'm going to oversimplify this.
Go ahead.
I don't know football as deep as you and Ian, some other guys. But if I'm looking for the Rams' next franchise quarterback in a Sean McVay offense, I'm thinking – Drake May, someone like that.
Interesting.
But if I'm looking for a backup quarterback this year, I think it's always nice to have, if it's a rookie, a guy that can, when things fall apart, things go sideways, it can get 6 yards on the ground. And that would be Jordan Travis, I think.
Yeah, or slide to the left, slide to the right, right? And then boom, Throw it downfield, right? So that's exactly what we're talking about. I mean, the kid is cool under fire. Anybody who watched Florida State the last 2 years knows this kid is cool under fire. He's hyper-competitive. His leadership ability is just absolutely amazing. He knows how to rally the troops around him. His interviews have been outstanding. So let's just stop. Leadership, mobility. Also, the kid is accurate. Now, the one thing I will say to the Ramley and for everybody in his camp, right? The kid needs to go into the weight room, needs to work on the arm strength, because right now the one knock against him is his arm strength. A lot of the deep balls that he threw were underthrown. And if you watch a lot of the Keon Coleman tape where they say lack of separation, I counted 10 balls that if it was out in front of him, there would have been plenty of separation. So just want to throw that out there because I know Casey's getting a lot of knocks against him for not being able to separate. So if you put that together, if you watch Travis throw the ball into these tight windows, he's able to do it. He gets rid of the ball quickly, has a nice smooth release, has that snap at the end of it, has a nice tight spiral. But the arm strength is definitely something that he needs to improve. I think once he gets stronger, once he hits the weight room, once he starts eating that NFL food, he'll start putting on a little bit more weight. The accuracy is there and the consistency is there over the last two seasons. That's what I've seen. And then I think as he gets stronger, he's going to be able to drive the ball downfield with consistency. And talking about consistency, 22-23, the two seasons, all right? In 22, he threw 24 touchdowns, 5 INTs. 23, 2 fewer games, 20 touchdowns, 2 INTs, Mark. Do you like that touchdown INT ratio? 3,200 yards in 22, 2,750 yards in 23. Mark, you ready for consistency? Completion percentage, both years, 64%. In 22, he averaged 247 passing yards per game. In 23, 250 yards per game. Both years, Mark, 7 rushing TDs. Can you get any more consistent than that? Holy cow, right? And I actually had to double check because I thought I had those stats wrong. So I went to 2 different sites to double check. I was like, wow, that is remarkable consistency. And when you are throwing with that type of consistency, how can you tell me that this kid does not have a smooth, repeatable release? That's what this kid has. The arm strength will come. I don't think he has a weak arm, not at all, right? The way that he puts a zip on the ball. I just think he has to develop that arm strength. Half of that is mechanics. The other half, like I said, is getting stronger. But yeah, I'm sold on this kid.
Yeah, but before we move on to the last guy, you know, Florida State's been popping up a lot in my mock drafts. Yeah. And I just filtered for Florida State. They're going to have quite a draft class. Jared Verse, Keon Coleman, Trey Benson, a running back I think you think's underrated. Braden Fisk tore it up at the – Braden Fisk great may have been
– Great
the stand, yeah, the standout at the Senior Bowl. And I like Johnny Wilson from day one. And I also like their cornerback, Renardo Green, and now Jordan Travis. Bunch of other guys. They got a bunch of guys here that are draftable.
Renardo Green was on my list, by the way. For the sake of time, we didn't go over, but I'll do it probably after the combine because I want to see how he does at the combine. But I think Renardo Green is going to be a real sleeper in this draft.
Yeah, he fell into one of my drafts. And at the time I picked him, I didn't know who he was. I just needed a cornerback in the 6th or 7th round, whenever it was. Yeah. Must have been the 6th round.
And these players that people have a hard time sort of pigeonholing, are they a cornerback? Are they a safety? They are made for the modern-day cover 2 scheme. Dude, keep the ball in front of you, make a play on the ball. That's what they're made for.
Yeah. The last guy is a small school running back. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. The Jackrabbits. All right, so this is one of my favorite players in the draft. I love this kid. I love watching him run. His name is Isaiah Davis from South Dakota State. Just a quick overview, grew up in Joplin, Missouri. As a senior, he was named the Missouri Gatorade Player of the Year, rushed for 45 touchdowns, also caught 19 passes for 2 more touchdowns. He also played linebacker on defense. He played at Dakota State. For those of you that don't know, 2-time national champion, FCS, of course, 22 and 23. He was a first-team All-American in 23, FCS, Missouri Valley Football Conference Player of the Year, 2-time first-team All-Missouri Valley Football Conference. Mark Trend, 23 team captain. He was a team captain for 2023. He finished his career with 4,500 career rushing yards in 46 games. For those of you, that translates to 99 yards per game average. He's tied for 6th in program history with 51 career rushing touchdowns. Okay, once again, in 46 games. All right, he is a no-nonsense, violent runner. He has patience, got fantastic fundamentals. Mark, 2 fumbles in 2 years. Okay? He was the lead back, obviously, for these 2 championship teams over the past 2 seasons. Great in short yardage, great in the red zone. He is a cut-and-go runner with great balance. Got the best stiff arm in the NCAA. Watch his footage. You will see at least twice that stiff arm come into play. He's always falling forward, always fighting for extra yard. He has worked hard to improve himself as a receiver and does well when he leaks out of the backfield. He would be a great complement to Iron Kyren to help establish that physical identity the Rams need on offense and sort of take, alleviate some of the load, short yardage, goal line at times. He would be equally adept in the zone or power gap scheme. And one thing I will say to you, and tell me who this sounds like, when they were interviewing him about him getting ready for the combine, they asked, what do you want people to see when you're at the combine. Listen to what he said. Who does this remind you of? He said, my competitiveness. He didn't say my cutback ability, my speed. He said, I want to notice my competitiveness. I worked hard to get to where I am. That statement alone, I'm drafting this kid. Who does that sound like? That's exactly what Puka, when they asked Puka, what set you apart? How did all these teams miss you that you wound up in round five? And that's what he said. He said, you can't quantify competitiveness, toughness, desire.
And you see that every time Puka makes a catch. It's amazing. And my notes on Davis suggest he may last to the seventh round. Now, could go earlier. Maybe we should shut up about him and he'll so be there for the
leave the segment immediately, right?
So yeah. Do we know anything about his pass blocking?
I didn't see too much about it. When I watched him, most of, you know, they were a heavy running team, the Jackrabbits. So I didn't see too many clips of that. I'm sure a player like this who's committed to getting better, you know, he can develop that, and he's tough enough that it won't, I don't think that'll be an issue moving forward. But one thing I will say, there are day three running backs for a lot of teams. Do not waste valuable draft picks on a reach running back. There is so much talent at the lower rounds of this draft, and I cannot explain why. I think a lot of it has to do because a lot of players did not play in the bowl games, so we didn't get a chance to see them on that sort of that ultra spotlight sort of stage. But I am telling you, and we saw this when we did the mock draft. I said that kid from Alabama, McCullen, I think he's fantastic. Edwards, the kid from running back, who I think is an Iron Kyron clone. I mean, there are so many great running backs. There are a couple of stash players as well in the late rounds. I think teams can do very well for themselves on day three and find that Puka mindset running back, that ultra-competitive warrior that is going to get it done on the field. Listen, yeah, Puka's one of one.
Right.
When we cite Puka, that Puka mindset is that willingness to get better, that willingness to win, that willingness, that fearlessness, that dedication, but at the same time, being able to do it with a smile on your face and understand that you're doing it.
Yeah, and I don't think we can understate. I mean, I totally agree with you, Puka's toughness, but I think having Cooper Kupp, having his arm around his shoulder and telling him, this is how it gets done. This is how you do it. And you see that. And you see that in little comments that Puka makes.
All the time.
A lot of his decision-making is, what would Cooper do? How would Cooper handle this? Is Cooper going to be mad at me?
But that's the whole idea, right? When you have the luxury, right? Greatness recognizes greatness, right? I love that phrase. But recognizing that is one thing, but helping to develop it is another. I'm not going to shout out any name. But remember, not too long ago, there was a player that was asked, are you going to help that player develop? And he said, that's not my job. Remember that?
Right.
That's
happened quite a bit, yeah.
And that soundbite says it all. The difference is, and when people have a chance, there's an incredible Ram media out there about the soundbites, particularly about Cooper Kupp and Puka. And those little exchanges, right, there's about 15 of them, where after a play, Cooper just turns to Puka and says, Puka, you're a baller.
Yeah, right? This is going to sound really maybe cheesy, but in my career, I try to never say it's not my job.
Yeah,
right. You know, I try to never say that. It doesn't have to be your job. You can step up and do things that are outside your normal scope of duties. If it's going to help a teammate, if it's going to help another team, if it's going to help a neighbor, you know, just step up and do it. It's that willingness to help. Some people have it and some people don't. I guess that's what it comes down to.
That's actually a very classic principle in organizational psychology, industrial psych. Mark and for Ram Nation, that comes up a lot, is that usually your most talented workers take on the most responsibility or begrudgingly have to take on that responsibility because they want to get the job done, right? So what usually happens is your least talented employees get the least amount of work, which is absolutely like sort of counterintuitive. But that's usually how it plays up in larger organizations. In this case, when you have guys like Donald, when you have guys like Whitworth, when you have guys like Kupp, you have guys like Stafford that are willing to teach and willing to support and willing to you know, just encourage and mentor other players. That's how you build a winning dynamic. That's how you build a winning organization. And we saw it play out with Puka. Cooper in his ear. Can you put a value on that?
Right.
And the video that just came out on social media, Mark, sorry to interrupt. There's a great video of the two of them working out. I think it's only a week old. The two of them working out.
Right. I saw that.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Well, getting close to closing here. And I have two comments I wanted to make back to the running backs. Mm-hmm. I think with the Ram running backs, whoever they bring in, they're not going to get on the field until they can pass block. So if Isaiah Davis can't pass block, he'll learn it. And when he does learn it, I almost wonder if it's Matthew Stafford that gives Sean McVay the thumbs up. Yeah, okay, you can put that guy out here to protect me. Until I say he's ready, he's not. Because you saw running backs come off the field a lot in passing situations. They just weren't out there. And they got to be able to pass block in this offense. Go ahead.
You know what's interesting, when we started this, I think your pass blocking skill development example, I think, is absolutely perfect. So what I told Mark when I first, I wouldn't say like I'm a sort of like a draft fanatic. I'm not, but I do think it's a very functional part of a team, because I think the personality of the team is constructed of the players you bring onto it. It's just obvious, correct? So when we did this list originally, right? So the way I started, I identify 100 players that I like. Mark knows I'm completely biased. These are the 100 players. I don't care how they're ranked. Draft them, right? These are the players we're going to draft. We're going to go out and get them. Of that 100, now think about some of the things that we emphasize. What did we emphasize? Multiple year starters. We said team captaincy, right? Or some other accolade about leadership. We also said academics, right? Being a priority. Of that 100, Mark, correct? That were day three. Almost half now are day two. You think that's coincidental?
Yeah, it makes sense.
It's the personality characteristics and a lot of these intangibles that get undervalued early on. But once, you know, as we say, the proverbial, you know, when all the BS stops, that becomes a very critical factor. And as you're saying, when you're bringing in these players, they may not contribute today, but you have to have an eye to the future. That's why this segment, I love doing this segment, I love doing it with Mark, because Mark, you know, definitely is able to pick up on that, is that finding these players that are under the radar are really, when we're bringing them in, is for the eye for the future, not just what they bring today. So they may not be an instantaneous starter, like Mark is saying, but down the road, who knows, right? But they might be instantaneous starters. Nobody picked Puka. Brian Young, shocked everybody. And listen, Kobe Turner shocked me. I didn't think he would be a day one starter, right? So there you go. So please continue your thought.
Kyren Williams, another fifth rounder.
Kyren, yeah.
Well, the one thing I wanted to add is, like, one of the reasons we wanted to do this segment was we wanted to get ahead of the combine and call out a bunch of players that we like and that Paul likes, and that are going to rise, possibly elevate their name at the combine. One thing to keep in mind, though, is, and from what I've been reading, the Rams aren't going to put a lot of weight on the combine. Apparently, they haven't the last few years. A lot of their decision making is already done, except for maybe some interviews. Now, I don't know if there's going to be any Rams staff there interviewing players. They do the
interviews virtually.
Yeah, so what they want to do is, Sean McVay said it yesterday, the day before, emphasis on toughness, that football is the biggest part of their life, and that their personality is the type of person they want in their locker room. And I think every one of the guys that you described fit that. Now, it's interesting. You almost hope, if the Rams don't put any weight on in the combine, you almost hope a couple of these guys don't shine at the combine. They trip and fall in the 40.
Look at Mark. Oh, my God.
Sean McVay's not going to care. You know, he's not going to. If he likes Trevin Wallace, do we want Trevin Wallace to kick some butt at the combine? Maybe not. Yeah.
So how do you interpret that? Like, the fact that they dismiss it. I don't think they dismiss it, but they don't feel like they need to have like this real time presence right. there. Everything they say that, you know, listen, it's modern age. Like, you know, the way he said it was, listen, I can watch all this from home or right. you know, the famous Ram house that they go and they watch everything. Right. So, which makes a lot of sense. There's a reason that all that is transmitted. Right. What in your mind, how do you interpret that? Like, what does that mean in, you know, we know the sort of the nice way, but what does it really mean to you? Like when it comes down to the nuts and bolts of everything, what do you think it means?
You mean about what McVay said about not attending the combine yeah. and not
what do you talk about the Rams as an organization, right? Not attending the combine. What do you think it means?
I think it means that they have the film on the players. They can do their interviews. And if Treven Wallace runs a 4.52 or a 4.92, they don't care. And I could be wrong, but I mean, we saw what Puka did at the combine last year.
Yeah.
You almost felt like they were going to ask him, son, you need to go home. This isn't going to work out. So I don't know. Is my answer what you expected?
No, I'm just interested in everybody else's thoughts because remember a while ago we did a pod and we were talking about the draft. I think the first time we did the draft thing, and one of my favorite football, just not just players, but just football people is Ozzie Newsome. And when he was running for the Ravens. So he said something that always stuck with me. He says, I already did my board, right? He says the combine only does one thing for me. They move them up, or we identify something medically that, you know, makes us question something, right? We don't restack our entire board based on the combine. You can only get moved up or you stay where you're at. The only time that somebody gets penalized is because of some type of medical situation. Now, one of the things the draft has become, it has become very reductionistic, right? So we just talked, and Mark, you said it best. You said a kid that's played 33 games in the SEC, right? And now you're going to break it down to one showcase at the Senior Bowl and then the Combine. And everybody's talking about what they did at the Senior Bowl and the Combine. And you're absolutely right. I want you and I want to see how they do when the pressure's on, right? And I think that one of the biggest changes for the NFL moving forward is evaluating players when more than half of them are not going to play in bowl games, right? They're going to opt out of the bowl game. And I think that's going to be a big, big challenge for a lot of NFL teams moving forward. Because for me, the bowl games were always, you know, under the clutch time, I want to see how the players roll. So what we might be seeing is a lot of teams now saying, well, I want to see this is their clutch time. I want to see how they perform. I think the Rams sort of downplaying it is just like as you said. They said, listen, I cannot devalue a player who's knocked out 33 games in the SEC and has proven they can play football, right? They have already proven that to us. What we want to see now is maybe like a sort of a small sampling of their skills in isolation so we can see how that's going to translate, right? How that's going to translate in certain scenarios, maybe – we give them certain tasks that we want to do, certain niche types of tasks that we want to execute in our offense or our defense. That's the way I'm looking at it. So I agree with you. I think exactly right. It's not a reductionistic viewpoint of these players and their performance. And I think that it keeps it in perspective. So I actually like the fact they're doing it that way. I still think the interviews are important. That's like what I'm looking forward to. And I'm glad they do the interviews first and they get into the skills right after that. But yeah, so I think you're right. I think it's really, really interesting, the Rams approach to the draft.
Yeah, I mean, Puka, just go look at his what happened with him, his college career, and then the combine. And
it's not just Puka. Cooper Kupp raised a lot of eyebrows. When they picked Cooper Kupp, they raised a lot of eyebrows.
And Puka's speed on the field in the NFL was excellent. You know, he got clocked as one of the fastest wide receivers at one point. So, the Rams are getting it right. I mean, they're not perfect, but I'm not sure what happened with Stetson Bennett. That was the one real miss last year. But there's maybe something going on that's just not part of their analytics, you know, and they missed it.
We hope that, Stetson gets it, everything in order and everything's okay. But,
yeah.
You know, that's something that's, listen, and we saw that with Kendrick too, right? You know,
yeah.
And we said that in the draft when it first happened, right? Both those players had something happen before the draft, right? Something came up, right? We all know what happened with Stetson Bennett. We don't need to talk about it, right? There was that incident that happened. There was the incident with Kendrick that happened through his collegiate days, right? And listen, these red flags come up. You know, you can't just dismiss a player for that. You have to give them the opportunity to grow, you know, depending on what the situation is, of course, right? There was a player on our list, you know, Mark and I, we said we found out something about the background. We took them off the list, obviously, because, you know, the list, you know, exemplifies a certain thing. But, you know, there are players that, you know, if we did the segment, the list would be, what, 40 players long, Mark, right?
Right, right.
So we know what's going to happen is that as these players move up off the list, they're like day two wonders, whatever they may be, these other players are now going to come on the list, right? And that's generally what happens in the NFL. The players move up, other players go into the limelight. You had just talked about the kid from Florida State, Green. There's a quarterback from Tulane, Jarius Monroe. I want to throw his name out. Kyrie Jackson was the corner that I loved. Actually, what is now a solid day two player according to the rankings. I think Kyrie Jackson just fits the Rams so well. Another corner slash safety is the kid from Auburn. Two, actually. There's a Simpson, and then the other one is Pritchett, which I also like. Snead will
Nathaniel,
be happy.
Nathaniel Pritchett?
Yeah. I know Snead will be happy about the Auburn shout-out.
Yeah, I remember reading about Pritchett, actually, and I made an off-the-cuff comment. I don't know if I included this on a podcast or not. They said that he's very cautious in his coverage and plays off a little bit. And I said, well, that's perfect. That's exactly what the Rams have been doing for two or three years. Bring him on in.
Yeah, right. But Jarius Monroe from Tulane is a kid I really, really like.
Yeah. Okay, I think we've covered enough for this episode. We got through your primary guys there. We end up with 14 of Paul's Puka power prospects. And let's do this again after the combine, and we'll either talk about another 10 guys or we'll re-rack and stack these guys, see which ones maybe elevated themselves too much. And I guess what we're hoping for, like I said, it's kind of torn here. Maybe we don't want these guys to stand out too much, because if they already have Sean's eye and Les Snead's eye, just stand pat and fall to the Rams.
Yeah, and that's sort of like the subscript, right? Is that this is the Rams Up podcast. So everything, these players, and we're hoping, fingers crossed, right, that they wind up on our roster, right, because of what they bring to the table, right?
And I hope Les and Sean appreciate this. They're probably in Cabo sipping margaritas waiting for this video to drop.
Right, exactly. High on their list, right, exactly.
Doing all their homework for them.
Yeah, they have people much more capable than you and I, right, taking care of business.
Yeah. Okay, Paul, thanks a lot for your time. It was a lot of fun, and I'll see you at the round table.
Absolutely. Double ram horn.
Okay, out here. That's going to do it for this episode. Remember, you can reach us at ramsuppodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget about our YouTube channel. Our handle is at laramsup.com. Till next time, keep the horns up, stay safe, and have fun out there.